Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, little fuckers. We've missed you.
We've missed you. But I think we've kept them, you know, entertained with some of our favorite episodes of the past.
Someone told me that they discovered Nicole Byer through our podcast. And I was like,
how?
Whatever. They're living under a Don't Blame Me rock, which I was like, I'm like so flattered. But this is definitely the only time that has ever happened.
We were like so excited that we even booked her, and then it happened the same day that you had your seizure, and you were like, I'll push through. And I was like, are you sure? And
it's
you
Nicole said, Byer. Yes. Obviously I will push through. She's absolutely everything to me. So yes, thank you all for letting us. No, I'm not gonna say thank you for letting us. Capitalism's not getting to me. Happy that you all enjoyed the replays for the last three episodes, and we had a eventful 3 week break. We talk about it on this week's episode of But Am I Wrong? If you want to hear us talk a little bit more about that.
Now everything's lined up, so it's coming out the same week.
Finally.
Yes.
But yeah, so we are happy to be back recording new episodes, and 2022 starting off going a little too hard.
Yeah, a little too hard. How have you been?
You know, I've been okay. We are I talked about this a little bit on the other podcast. It is Tuesday, the day that we are recording this. And Moth and I are submitting our first offer for a home tomorrow, Wednesday.
It's very exciting.
Which is crazy. So positive thoughts, but at the same time, I'm keeping reminding myself of the things that I don't like about the house, because it would just be absolutely unheard of to get a home on the first offer, especially in LA. Mm-hmm. You know, we could have offered way more, but I'm like, this house is not. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. LA home prices, like the market has like surged them up so much. And I understand that. But at the same time, I didn't grow up personally wealthy, but I grew up around a lot of wealthy people in a very, very wealthy.
You grew up in an affluent area.
Very affluent area. Shout out to my dad for building a house there in the 70s, but he could. But I was surrounded by homes that cost a ton of money. But at the same time, I'm like, you have beautiful vistas. Everything's gorgeous. I mean, Marin has a lot of its own problems, big problem with racism and white saviorism and white liberals. Bad vibe, but also like great public schools and all of that. So I understand how people pay a lot more for those houses. Whereas in LA, I'm like, no, I can see the freeway. Like, I'm not going to be paying this much for it. But it's really cute. It definitely would need some work, but that's like kind of what we wanted. Yeah. So we're keeping our fingers crossed. And what else? Mott's got norovirus, but he's better now. So far, knock on...
Such a cute name.
Isn't it, though? Knock on wood, me and Moth's dad are the only people in the entire family who never got it. So, like,
nice.
Crossing my fingers. And I have been incredibly humbled by a two-year-old because...
Oh, that's what they will do.
It's only getting worse. So, when we were in Colorado, he would ask me to draw... He would say, Aunt Megan, draw a octagon. And the first time I drew it, there were not eight sides. And he's just looking at that and he goes, Aunt Megan, draw an octagon. And I was like, okay, let me try again. And I'm trying. And his dad, Moz's brother, is dying of laughter, not helping me at all, just laughing. And then finally he goes, can Aunt Megan draw a hexagon? And just starts just like, go. I was like, this is so, so wildly humbling. And then he started just saying, Aunt Megan, draw a circle. And I was like, sure, I'll draw a circle. I've been demoted to circle and triangle. And it hurts. But then this one was my own fault. He loves puzzles. And I also love puzzles. So that's like one of my favorite things to do with him. And small puzzles, because I hate his big ass big ones that like he doesn't help with. But he like wants me to do it. He just like turns into a dictator and just tells me what to do. And I'm doing this puzzle. That's not even fun. But so I got him a U.S. map puzzle. And it has like the wooden pieces. And I was thinking about him and I wasn't thinking about me. And he loves memorizing things. Like, he's all about that. Like, very much like one of those like little kids you see on Ellen who just like has all those things memorized.
Yeah, he's like a little sponge.
100%. You like ask him what Obama says and he says, yes, we can. You ask him what like Ruth Bader Ginsburg says and is like, I resist or we resist something. He's great at this stuff. But it has not only the states, but also the capitals. And I was like, oh, that's like a twofer, because he'll learn the states and he'll really love memorizing those and knowing all those. And then he can move on to like capitals and like that'll be great.
How are you with that?
That's the issue. So they are smaller pieces and he can do them, but they don't each have their own little outlined slot. Like, they all fit in together, which is like a more advanced thing. So like, he can do them.
And so that you know what it matches with.
Yes. So he can do like the outer corners and that stuff, but like it doesn't precisely fit until everything's in there, which is just a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of him asking me to put them in. And I have now recognized that not only do I not know where a large chunk of the states reside, but I also do not fucking know the capitals. So like the outline on the map, like on the wood, and when you take the pieces out, just says the capital. And I'm like, ooh, fuck. And so we were over there the other day. And again, everybody is just dying of laughter because he just keeps going like, Megan, put this piece. And Megan, put this piece. Put this piece. And I'm like, it's like I'm holding Wyoming. And I'm like, I don't know where it goes. So I am learning with him. So I think that has been helpful, and it has solidified Motz's view that we cannot, I personally could not ever homeschool our children.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one day I would like to sit and do that with Soren, because I am very versed in, like, that was one of my favorite things is states and capitals. Like, we would have sections of, I don't know if you, probably not, you'd have sections where we would fill out maps and we'd have a test at the end of the week. Did you have those?
So no, but that's like the fifth grade criteria. Okay. And we didn't have that.
Okay, so we had that, and I would fill out the sections around that weren't even part of the test for that day.
Yeah, so that is not me. Like, this mm-hmm. is, again, very Marin. One of the pitfalls of my, I went to like hippie school for elementary school. One of the pitfalls is they were like, we're on stolen land. We're not going to learn about all of these states and all of this arbitrary stuff. And I was like, as a kid, I was like, sick, don't have to do this. As an adult, I'm like, okay, so we acknowledge the problem, but we're also not going to learn that much about said problem. Okay, we're using mm-hmm. as an excuse to not really do this yeah. segment as much. But like, you know, I learned lots of other like fun stuff regarding history, but yeah, not that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm good when it comes to, I can do the West Coast. I'm solid when it comes to the West Coast.
I mean, there's only a few states.
Exactly. But then when I even get to Colorado, I know like what states Colorado touches on the left. When I was like, Colorado shares a corner with Nebraska? The fuck?
Mm-hmm.
I just can't.
Well, maybe this will be education for you as well.
There are some random states that I like know capitals of and stuff. Like, I'm not going to call Arkansas random, but like, people were impressed that I knew Arkansas. And Motz goes, doesn't count. Melissa's from there. And I was like, I've also been there, but I couldn't yeah. flex that. So you'll have to do it with him sometime and show yeah. off your skills. And then he will never let me do it again. Melissa, where is this?
I like to slowly take over all children's lives. I even, one of my sisters, I even, like, her dog likes me better. Well, both their dogs actually like me better. But the other one, like, I was around a lot all the time before I moved. So, like, that dog loves me. But then the newer dog, my other sister has. The first time we met 3 years ago, he peed on me. So I've been pissed at that since then.
Literally.
But, yes. But when I went this time, he was obsessed with me. And then, you know, the children are obsessed with me too. But I unfortunately didn't get to see them a lot because they were all sick with non-COVID things. And so it was kind of like ping-ponging back. So I didn't get to see them as much as I'd like to.
That sucked. Did they get strep?
No, but we found out that Audrey needs to get her tonsils taken out. So that's why she gets sick all yeah. the time. Yeah.
At least she's young though. That's the best mm-hmm. time to get it done.
Yeah. I had my adenoids taken out when mm-hmm. I was a little bit younger than her for the same reason. So we shall see. But I was just thinking, when you were talking about humbling, mine's a little bit more simple. But last night I was talking to Melanie and Aubrielle, the youngest, the 2-year-old, on FaceTime. And Aubrielle pushed the phone away because she didn't want to talk to me. And then her dad came in the room and she didn't realize he was in the room. And Melanie goes, hey, Q. And then she pulls the phone back, because she thought he was on the phone. And then when she saw it was me, she pushed it back. I was like, you see this dude every day. Why am I being treated like someone you don't want to talk to? When you talk to, like, she'll just call. She knows how to, like, find me yeah. and call me. And it's like, wow, I feel very disrespected and hurt. Yeah. So I got disrespected by my niece and it hurt my feelings. But I'm over it today. It's been a long day, though. I've already directed an audiobook this morning at 7:00.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I was impressed with myself that I set an alarm this morning. I was like, damn, look at me. Well, I guess we should give you a little lowdown on the show if you are new here, or maybe you've just forgotten. So we're Don't Blame Me. We are an advice show where we give wonderful, life-changing, amazing, wonderful. I said wonderful twice because it is. And it's wonderful squared advice. And you give us a call at 310-694-0976. International listeners, send us an audio message at meganpodcast@gmail.com under 3 minutes, or you will be cut off by us, but mostly by Google Voice number. Mm-hmm. And we ask that you let us know your pronouns, you're 18 or over, have your parents' permission to call, and you write down everything you're going to say. You time it out before you call us. Make sure it's under 3 minutes. Practice, get all of the right info in there. And then you can just read it aloud when you leave us the voicemail. And that is how you can receive, drumroll, please,
I can't roll
a diamond. You can't roll your R's?
Mm-mm. Rub it in. Okay.
It's not much I can do, so I like to rub it in. That's how you can receive a diamond from the diamond herself.
Me.
Alyssa Diamond. Ah, the crowd goes wild. So, okay. Shall we get into it?
Yep.
Okay. So my call was the one where I wanted to move in with my boyfriend and a roommate, and he ended up wanting to get a studio apartment to himself. And then I just lived in a house with just me and my roommate. And that actually, you guys were right. And that was honestly the best. I don't think it would have worked out if the three of us stayed. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'd be bad, but it is nice. Like, he has his own space, and like, it can just be me and him when I go over there, versus like, me and her, we're on the same sports team together. She's still an undergrad, but other than that, we have like a very similar, not even similar schedule, but lifestyle, because we're both in college, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that ended up working out really well. But now for next year, so I talked to my boyfriend, and he does want to live together next year. So he's like, yeah, let's move in together next year. So we're planning on doing that. He actually got a dog that we have together, and like, we're doing great, and she's so cute. Oh. So we're really excited to move in with the dog and everything. But I have three other people that want to live with us next year.
Like, individually, or like with you and him? Like,
they want to all live like in a big house together.
That's my
and
nightmare.
And at first I was like, okay, fun. And then I'm like, wait, no, that sounds terrible. Because two of them are a couple. So it'd be me and him, the two of them, and then just someone else.
No.
No.
No. What's his thoughts on it?
He doesn't really care. He's like, nah, I don't really like it, but whatever. Just like, he more so just wants to be in an apartment, because he doesn't want to deal with, like, obviously we wouldn't be buying a house, but even like renting a house, like all the utilities like are in your name and stuff. And he just doesn't want to deal with all that, which now I'm seeing too, because like at this house, like, I'm an accounting person and like, I'm from the area, so everything's in my name because it was just easier that way. Mm-hmm. But it's already annoying, like, having to be in charge of all of that for one other person. And me and her get along like fine, like that's not a problem at all. And it already like annoys me. So I'm like, imagine if that was like four other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
But I don't know how to tell them like without being a bitch.
Just say we want to live by ourselves.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah.
Yeah. That like you both have like you were going to do it this year, just you two, and then held off. And so now for the next year, we really want to do just us. And like, unless you are like broke with no other options, yeah, that's like a. You allocate the money for you two to live together. And if that was something that was already on the table, like, yeah, it will be so dramatic. Like,
yeah,
think of the other couple fighting and like,
mm-hmm, yeah. And they've only been dating for like a year versus me and my boyfriend have been dating for like 4 years. No. And I don't want it to be like, oh, we're better than you. But I'm like, I wouldn't even recommend them move in together right now.
Well, you have to think of it as like every single day is like a double date. And dinner every night, like all of that
plus
stuff.
Plus an extra person.
Plus an extra fucking person who's just going to be like, like, that's so
like,
weird.
Yeah. For me, like, I understand that and I want my own apartment and I can afford it to like just me and him, or I could afford like my own place really if I wanted that. But the other people are wanting to save money and like wanting like a big thing. So I don't know how to explain it to them without sounding rude.
I don't think you need to explain it in a way of like, this is financially not, we're able to live by ourselves. Just say it's just we've been together for a long time and we just want to move in together. And
yeah, I think if you like really phrase it as like, we're really excited for this next part of our relationship. We've been I think you will like also deter the couple who has only been together for a year for like living together. Because I think when you are a couple and you seek out to have three additional roommates, that's because you're trying to downplay the severity or the seriousness of moving in with a significant other. So you make your significant other like a roommate.
Yeah.
But like, if you're like, no, this is like a next step in our relationship that we're really excited for. We've been together for 4 years and we're not looking to have any other roommates because, again, this is the next step in our romantic relationship and partnership.
Right.
It's not about like roommates. Like, he's not my roommate. Yeah. He's my long-term partner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like the other couple, one of the reasons the girl was like wanting to do it, she's like, oh, like that way it's just not the two of us living together. And like, I can have help with the rent because this person's still in college. And I'm like, okay, but like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
It's okay to be selfish.
Yeah.
Okay. And not think about their feelings. Because I mean, like, living situations are something serious. Like, they're really serious. Like, you come home, like, do you want to be looking at them when you come home after a long day? Right.
Like, they're going to, like, make out on your couch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're going to have sex in a bathroom.
Yeah. And you might be able to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not it. You should, no. Mm-hmm. No. It's their responsibility if they don't want to live together and all that stuff. I think you've got the perfect out. Like, the absolute perfect out.
Yeah.
And then I would also individually tell, like, the solo one person, just be like, don't move in with a couple. Just, like, don't do that. Not a good call.
Yeah. I guess I just feel bad. Like, I don't want these people to be without a place or, like, without roommates.
It's a ridiculous ask.
Yeah. And they can, if they need roommates, they can find other people.
And, like, they shouldn't assume, like, of the people who you would think would be the most wild card, it'd be, like, shocking if they said yes to moving in. I would think it'd be a couple who's been together for 4 years. Like, that's not, like, if that's who they're, like, really relying on, it's, like, you haven't thought this through because, like, that's not.
Yeah. I don't know why they want to live with us, honestly.
Maybe you're fun.
Yeah.
I'm kind of boring, so I don't know.
Maybe they're swingers. Maybe they've had their eyes on you.
Oh my god.
That's the drama.
Well, don't do it.
Joking. I don't want to put those weird vibes out.
You had the success story of this year, realizing that and not getting into like that times five, basically. Or times three. Math. Mm-hmm. Three.
Yeah, because I feel like this year, like, I learned, okay, like, don't move in with your significant other until, like, you're ready to, like, have that as, like, the next part of your relationship. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the other people realize that yet because they haven't had, like, a year of seeing what that would be.
Do they live together now?
No. They're long distance right now.
Oh, God, no. Absolutely. Yeah. No. It's going to be an adjustment just for them to be in the same place together.
There's like a 4 year age gap too. Someone will be like in college and
No.
And it'll ruin like the excitement that you've waited all year to like move in with your, you know what I mean? Like, it will hinder your experience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's not good.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
Okay. So just kind of tell them like, oh, I really just want it to be the two of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, we've planned for this. Okay. We're really excited about this. It's the next step in our relationship. And that's why I moved in with my roommate this year, because we were holding off. And now this is something we've been really excited for. But like, good luck finding a roommate.
Well, thank you.
Of course.
You're welcome.
Happy that it originally turned out well. And fingers crossed that if they take it the wrong, like, fuck them. Like, that's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, if they take it the wrong way, then that might not be a situation I want to be
in. That's on them. Like, you're totally reasonable.
Yeah. They've got too many things going on, even outside of just financially.
Okay. I just needed that validation.
Yeah.
I was like, am I being a bitch or is this crazy?
No, it's crazy. No. You're not a bitch at all. They're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again.
Of course. Thank you for giving us an update.
Yeah. You'll have a good afternoon.
You too.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
In our live stream, our listeners are always recommending and talking about books. So we're so excited about Book of the Month because this is something that our listeners are going to love.
This is a brand that I've been familiar with for a long time. I like love watching people talk about it. I love seeing what books people are reading and like what books they have available. And I love everything about it. So I'm so excited for someone who like, you know, the ease of getting into a book, a lot of it can feel like really daunting. So to have like a service where it's like, you're going to get like high quality hardcover books, which that's my preferred way to read, at incredible prices, but also curated. So it's like amazing, cool, wonderful, great. This is, it's kind of like a straight shot into that, and something that Book of the Month you can do over and over and over again. And one of the great things about it is the longer you are part of the program, the cheaper the books get.
Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and promote the work of emerging authors. One of the amazing things about Book of the Month is that every aspect of Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. First of all, the books come in a bright blue box, which is very pretty. Me and Megan were just talking about them. There's also a fun app to pick your books and track reading progress. And as well, there are reading challenges and rewards.
And Book of the Month makes it really easy to decide what book to read next, which for me is like the biggest hurdle. I love when other people make choices for me, especially when they're good choices. And I'm like, cool, I can trust you. So each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles and they pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All of the books are so good, you can't go wrong. And I mean that wholeheartedly. When we were picking like our selects for this, I was like, wait, I like all of them. This is hard. And I literally coordinated with Melissa and I was like, okay, so these are like my top ones. I'm assuming they will be yours. So don't pick the same one as me so then we can swap afterwards. And that's what we did.
So we got The Ministry of Time by Killian Bradley. And we also received The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean.
The Ministry of Time is like, people are calling it like, if you're a fan of Outlander and like spy novels or time traveling books, it's quoted from Town and Country saying, it's really innovative, fun storytelling. The Ministry of Time is definitely for you. And listed it as 45 of the must-read books for spring 2024. And then Harper's Bazaar also said, part time travel romance, part spy thriller, and 100% multifaceted joyride. When I tell you that, I was like, sold.
We're also excited about the return of Ellie Black. And this one is about a missing girl who returns, but that isn't the end of the story. It's only the beginning. We both like a detective book. This one is 20 years since Detective Chelsea Calhoun's sister vanishes. Ever since, Chelsea has been searching for signs for closure for other missing girls, but happy endings are rare in Chelsea's line of work. Which, that sounds so intriguing, and I'm looking forward to reading this novel so much.
Can't wait, and we're so excited to usher in this new sponsor. And we know y'all are already going to love this. Plus, we've been recommended this so many times. Mm-hmm. So we've already got fans in you. Try the service yourself at bookofthemonth.com, and you can get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That is your first book, $5 at bookofthemonth.com using code PETALS. The tips?
Hi, Megan and Melissa. I'm a longtime fan and listener of the podcast, but somehow I still don't know how y'all are going to react to my call. I'm kind of nervous, but here it goes. I am a 19-year-old female, she, her pronouns, and my boyfriend is a 22-year-old male, he, him pronouns. We have been dating for around 2 years, and we live together. We each have a dog, and we kind of like raise our dogs together, obviously, because we live together. And I've been with him since he got his dog. He got his dog before I got mine, and his dog is a blue healer. It's a boy, and he's around a year and a half old. So I've been around him since he was a puppy. He knows me as his mama pretty much. He loves me, sleeps in my bed every night with me, and I help take care of him pretty much as if he's my own. But he has bit me a few times, and he's also bit my boyfriend a few times. He has some really bad aggression issues and really bad disciplinary issues, and we've been working on it for a long time. He was actually attacked by a bigger dog whenever he was really young, and that kind of scarred him and made him a little more aggressive, so it's understandable, I guess, but I don't know what I should do because every time he bites me, whether it's minor or sometimes it's kind of bad, my boyfriend always kind of sticks up for him and tells me that, like, it's my fault and I'm reacting the wrong way. Even whenever I'm completely calm and try to do exactly what he tells me to do, he still tells me I'm reacting the wrong way. And he's just always trying to make it seem like I'm wrong and the way that I'm acting is making him bite me. And I try to express to him that nothing should make a dog bite the hand that feeds him, like, especially if I'm not hurting him or putting him in danger. So what should I do? Should I talk to my boyfriend about, like, training and, like, I don't know, like, looking into more about it? I don't know. I don't know what to do. He gets mad at me every time I, like, bring it up. So what should I do? How should I approach this? I would really like to, like, save my relationship with this dog. He's a good dog, and I do love him. I've known him his whole life, and I have hope that he can get this sorted out. I know that he's not trying to purposely hurt me, and I know that he always feels guilty after biting me. So what should I do, guys? Please help me. Thank you. Love you guys.
I mean, I think the notion that, like, a dog should never bite the hands that feed him if it's not, like, if they're not being abused is not correct. Also, you did acknowledge that this dog has trauma, and but that is why. And, like, mm-hmm. I'm not siding with, like, your boyfriend at all, but, like, yes, there are certain ways that you can behave when you are around a dog that is aggressive or has discipline issues or has trauma that can trigger and cause that. Like, there is a way to be around that dog. And I'm not saying that you're not doing that. So, like, he's not wrong in that statement. I just don't know if that applies in the situation, but, like, overall, he can't say that if the dog's not going through training, and mm-hmm. the dog needs to be going through training with both you and him. You all three need to be doing said training together, because if he's doing training, if you're spending, like, live together, you're spending all this time with the dog, like, you are, like, the mom of the dog, he shouldn't have to be telling you what the training is to do all of that. Like, you are equally taking care of the dog, and it should be something that you are both getting that information from the trainer. So you're all on the same page. And so you're all behaving and disciplining the exact same way and like working on that, because it's not ever a dog's fault for any of this stuff. Like, it's the owner's fault and like the previous owners or whatever happened when he was like attacked by another dog caused a lot of trauma. And now it is the responsibility of both of you as pet owners. And I think like you've only been together for 2 years, but you do live together, but it's very much my dog and his dog. I think that like you just need to view both of these dogs as both of your dogs and like go together to get the training. And if it's not something that he wants to do, then to me, that would be a massive red flag for him as a person.
Yeah. My cousin had a dog that loved me. It was just like laying on my, whenever I'd go over, it would just lay in my lap and I'd pet him. And then one day I was spending the night and I came out the bathroom and the dog just charged up the stairs and bit my hand, and it seemingly came out of nowhere. So you can't, that's a dog that very much loved me and then bit me. So like, you can't just say you can't, a dog wouldn't bite the hand that feeds them, because they can. You don't know what's going on in their brain. And I agree with Megan, like you guys should be going to training together. And if your boyfriend isn't in agreement with that, honestly, I think that he should have been the one that brought that up to begin with. If you're not going to training together, if he's not noticing some behavior in you where you're like abusing the dog and giving the dog like a reason, he knows that, like, it's already a red flag to me. I should say he knows that you're not doing anything to promote the biting. So then why is he saying these things to you? You guys should be going to some type of training together so that you know what the dog's cues are, and then you guys can figure out together why the dog's doing this.
Yeah, because if you were inadvertently doing something that was causing this reaction out of the dog, he should immediately be like, I don't want you to do that because that's bad. That's harming the dog, and this is the result of that, and I don't want the dog doing this as a result of that. We need to be going to training immediately. Like, it doesn't feel like he's looking out for you or the dog.
Right. Another thing is like, if he cares so much about the dog and he thinks that you're doing something to provoke the dog, then why is he still letting you? Like, it's just red flags. I'm not saying that you are. I'm just saying as someone, as him, as a dog owner, if he thinks that you're doing something that's triggering the dog to bite you, then why would he continuously let you around the dog?
That in itself is not a responsible dog owner. So to me, I don't think that you're doing anything, like you're not abusing the dog. And I don't think that like, he just refuses to take any sort of accountability for this. And like, this will affect your relationship. And you seem to have like a very great understanding of like, this is not the dog's fault. The dog feels guilty. Like, this is a training and discipline issue. And at a certain point, you might just need to start recognizing and telling yourself it's a training and discipline issue. It's a boyfriend issue. Like, it's a him issue. It's the person that you're dating and him as a dog owner, which like tells you a fuck ton about someone. So I think if like training is not something he's open to or something that like does not go over well with him, that I think that's time to like reevaluate the situation, because how someone treats a dog and all of that, that says so much about who they are.
Right.
And like, it could just like get worse. Like, I'm not good with big dogs still to this day. But when I was like 3, family friend dog, I don't know how big the dog was, but like comparison to how little I was, it was a big dog to me. And like, this is one of my earliest memories that the dog, I don't know why, but I also didn't like the people who owned this dog. Like, I know that they didn't like them as people. Dog like jumped on me and bit my face and knocked me over when I was like a little kid. And that is something that like I can recognize as an even as a kid then, that I didn't like the people who owned the dog, and the dog then like bit me, and that was a reflection of those people. You know, not the dog. Red flags.
Yeah. All right, next call.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. I am 24 and go by she, her pronouns. My ex was 29 and goes by he, him pronouns. We did it for 3 years and broke up over a year ago. We broke up because I felt like he didn't speak my love language and he was ready to settle down and have kids and I wasn't. It kind of sent me into a quarter life crisis. I realized I hadn't left my hometown, hadn't had a whole phase, basically hadn't lived. After the breakup, my sister got assigned to California and I decided to move with her. And there, because since there wasn't anything holding me back anymore, I went to school, I bettered myself, got out of my comfort zone, and was on my hot girl shit. The bra on a growth. My ex called me a couple days ago, which is not out of the ordinary since we've ended on good terms and kept in touch. We call each other every couple of months just to check in and see how we're doing. Last time he called, I found out that he was talking to someone, which kind of stung, but he's a good man and it was bound to happen. I stopped calling just out of respect. I didn't want to get in the way of anything or start any unnecessary arguments between them. Anyways, he called me a couple days ago and we were on the phone for over 3 hours. The last hour was through FaceTime. Seeing the way that he was looking at me, I thought, that's not good. There's still something there. I can read him like a book. The next day he calls me and he told me that he broke it off with the woman that he was talking to. When I asked him why, he told me that she was going through a lot and wasn't sure of what she wanted and basically didn't want to waste each other's time. We moved on from the conversation and started talking about our New Year's plan. That's when we both found out that we're both going to be back home at the same time. Because of his job, he's always out of state. He asked me if I wanted to go watch Spider-Man with him and then have dinner afterwards. I said yes, and we've been talking every day since. I keep telling myself we're just going as friends and not to overthink it. But I'm a smart woman and I wasn't born yesterday. I know exactly where this is headed. So I'm reminding myself that we broke up for a reason. Also, you did not move all the way to California and go through this long journey just to move back home and get back together with your ex. However, there's a part of me that wonders, what if this year apart, this year of growth is what we needed? Let me just add that I never planned to stay in California permanently. I've always planned to move back to Texas after my sister's time here was up, and that is still the plan. Also, I know that 3-hour-long conversation with him was not very girl-supporting girls of me, but I am a Pisces, and I know I deserve some self-love for that, so please be gentle, because I will cry. Thank you.
It's okay. That phone call is very Pisces of you. Like, that aligns. I mean, here's what if I'm going to get, like, technical, what I would say, I would give it another year of this kind of time. I wouldn't necessarily call what you had a year apart because you were talking every couple months and like you didn't mention that you had dated anyone else or like been around. I mean, you said like you had a hoe phase, but I don't know if you've had like association of like relationships and love with like one singular person. Like, I don't know if you like went on a date with someone that you had, I don't know if you had a crush on somebody or if it was just like sleeping around having fun in that sense, which I think is great and something that awesome to do if you want to do that. But I would probably, if it was me, I would probably maybe wait like another year. Or what are the conditions of this? If it's like, is it moving back to Texas? Is it like settling down, having a family, doing all of that stuff that like you weren't really ready to do before? Is that like what it is like riding on? Because I think that like the reason why you broke up was not because you stopped like loving him. And like when that love is still there, we can't be surprised and shocked by that. That wasn't the issue. And so to think that those issues aren't there anymore when you had the year doing all of this, it kind of feels very like textbook. Like, well, maybe I spent this year and I got it out of my system and now we kind of come back together. And I think that like, I don't know, I think you could like totally go for it. But if it was me, like I felt a very big change between the ages of 24 and 25. And I would probably wait until I was 25. And or if I decided to like come back to like the hometown thing, I would test that out first before it came along with any commitments and be like, okay, moving back to my hometown seemed like a plan that I wanted to do. But now in practice, I don't feel like I've been gone from home enough to like want to be back. Yeah, I just think that like whatever choice you make, just not have those like attachment, those commitments attached to those choices, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I know you mentioned that he broke up with the other girl he was seeing because he had a lot going on. What was going on? Like, what were the reasons why they broke up? Is that something that would hinder you two getting back together? Does he even want to get back together? Maybe he sees it as just because you're home, that it's kind of like a temporary thing. Like, he likes spending time with you there. I would write down like all the reasons why you broke up and look and see, have either there are things that don't matter now anymore, or are there things that both of you can work on, or are there things that nothing's changed, so I don't want to even, you know, revisit that. I think just reminding yourself of the reasons why you broke up. Also, if you move back to Texas, making it so it's not just about him, making it because it's something that you actually want and it has nothing to do with him. He might be like a very small factor into that, but you can't move back just because there might be a relationship there.
Yeah. I also think that like this is a decent enough age gap that like if he is wanting to date someone who is 24 when he's 29, the whole pressure of getting married and having kids and settling down, like that is something that like you then need to date someone older, like who's ready to do that. I think that expecting that of someone who is 24, that's something where like I think there's a lot of compromise when it comes to like relationships and things that you just have to compromise on. But that to me is one that I'm like, if you're going to date someone who is younger than you, mm-hmm. you have to know that that will factor in and you can't just want to push them up to your age and where you're at. And again, your brain's not fully developed until like you're 25. And I think that like, it sounds very romantic and poetic that you had this like year apart and you did all that kind of stuff. But like in the scheme of your life, a year is really not a large amount of time. No. And I think if he can't wait another year of, or if he can't like continue on with this for another year and like it feels like if this is a now or never, you're going to lose him kind of thing, I don't think he's the person for you.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that like it feels very much like eventually you wanted to settle, but you didn't want to stay long term in California. You weren't going to come back to Texas and all that. But it feels like he is influencing the timeline of it. And it feels like you should have gotten it out of your system maybe in some sense, and that like everything should be back to like the better and ever than it was before. But it feels heavily influenced by his timeline, you know, and by him.
Yeah. All right. Let us know after you sat and thought about it. Let us know. Give us an update.
Woo. We're going to take a quick break and then we will be right back.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. juvederm.com. That's juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We're back from the break and we're getting to the rest of the calls.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. I am 21 and I use she, her pronouns. And my boyfriend in the story is also 21, uses he, him pronouns. I'm calling in because I am arguing a bit with my boyfriend about how to proceed in moving in together. Right now, we've only been dating for like 4 months, totally not trying to move in now. But I'm about to graduate college literally this week. I'm so excited to be done. But he has a whole nother year and a half of college, so one semester and then a full year. And I was talking to him about when his lease is up in August. We've been together for about a year. I want to start my career, and like I'm really wanting to move in together. Right now we live about 90 miles apart, so it takes us about like an hour and a half to drive to each other. And it's just kind of frustrating. And I would like to move to his area. However, I just can't afford my own place right now. And if I got a lease now, it would end 6 months after his ended, so they wouldn't line up. So the issue we're having is he says he wants to wait to move in until after he's graduated, which will be in the spring of 2023. And I just really do not want to wait that long. But am I being unreasonable for not wanting to wait? Or should I find my own place? Should I look into getting roommates? I really don't want roommates. I've had horrible experiences with them, but I just don't know what to do. I really want to move in with him at the 1 year mark, but he's saying it's too soon. And I just want your guys' advice, because maybe it's too soon and maybe I'm being crazy. So please, I'm a Pisces, so be a little bit gentle with me, but I can take it. Give me some love. It can be tough though. Okay, love you both. Thank you.
We kind of already shared our thoughts on this with the update.
Yeah. I mean, this is like you moving in together with someone, we said this before, like should be the next step in a relationship. And the only time I think it should be convenience-based is if it's a make or break budget situation and it's a dire need, you get evicted, like not like, oh, I would have to find roommates. And like, if there's a way for you to financially do it that doesn't involve moving in with your partner, but like if you get evicted, that I completely understand the dire need of it. Finding roommates is not, you know what I mean? Like needing mm-hmm. roommates is not, like you have other options. But yeah, moving in with your partner should be like a next step in a relationship and like should be equally excited. Like think of it like any other roommate. You're like, I really want to live with them, but they don't want to live with me.
Yeah. You don't want him forced into a situation that he doesn't want to believe in. Why are you putting this unnecessary pressure on him and your relationship? Just wait.
Yeah.
He has reservations about this. Why are you trying to do something that he doesn't want to do?
And I promise you, it won't be fun for you because like, I mean this in like not a sexist way at all, but like when you are done with college and you're moving in with someone, even if it's a roommate or a friend, you're playing house. And like, especially when it's like a partner, like it might not feel like a large gap in time between like the last year that you're in college and your first like quote unquote grown up apartment, but like it is like you are playing house for the first time. Like, and it is just different. And like, he will still be in college. And I don't think that he as a roommate will meet your needs and your expectations. And it won't be as fun for you because like he's going to be studying for finals and like, you're going to have other stuff that's like on your mind or whatever, but like you're living with a college boy. Mm-hmm. It's just different, especially in like the undergrad, like social settings of it as well, even in the pandemic. But like, it is just a much different mindset that I don't think that you will enjoy it.
Mindset and different lifestyles and different milestones that are going on in your lives. Yeah. Wait it out.
Yeah. Just wait. And like, I think it's also like a year living, like after dating for a year, moving in with someone, I think is really, really quick. But I think it's even quicker when you have to start talking about it at like 4 months and planning mm-hmm. that. Like, that's just a lot. Mm-hmm. And like, if you want to be in a relationship that you want to move in with that person after a year, that's totally okay, but not this relationship because he doesn't want to. Mm-hmm. So like, then maybe it's breaking up and dating someone else and letting them know right off the bat that it's important to you to move in together at a year, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't recommend it.
I don't recommend it at all.
It won't be fun. No. It really won't be fun.
But he's not going to want to do it anyway. Like, he's not going to go and put his name on a lease if he doesn't want to do something.
Like, you're going to have to bring him kicking and screaming.
Yeah. Next.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. I am a 24-year-old who uses she, her pronouns, and I'm calling in about my best friend who is 29 and also uses she, her pronouns. Let's call her Emma. Potential trigger warning ahead for mentions of controlled substances. Emma has been a nurse for a few years. She worked insanely hard and overcame so much shit to get her nursing license. You have no idea. However, Emma recently got herself into a bit of trouble. About a month ago, she informed me that she had been suspended from her job due to drug diverting. That basically means she took some controlled substances from the pharmaceutical machine and did not return them. She says it's because she's been so overwhelmed and completely forgot to return them in the same day, which, for the record, is probably true. Thanks, COVID. I felt so horrible for her being punished over a simple mistake. They made her take a urine drug test on the spot, and hospital police even escorted her home to have her turn in the drugs. She's in required therapy and may have to go to court to fight for her nursing license and potentially dispute a felony charge. I figured it would be an easy investigation and she'd have her job back in no time since it was an obvious accident. However, that's when Emma reluctantly informed me that she had actually taken a couple of the pills to relieve one of her severe migraines, because she was out of her prescription migraine medicine. I was on board and understanding when I thought it was a simple mistake, but now knowing she intentionally ingested some of the stolen medicine kind of makes me feel different about her. She had the medicine in her home for a few days, and part of me worries that she took them on purpose and she just isn't ready to admit that. I truly don't believe that she's addicted, but I also don't now know how to be sure of that. I'm trying to be sensitive to her feelings as she's the one going through this firsthand, but as her best friend, I don't know how to react as I don't support this behavior. This just isn't something that aligns with my moral values. She also lives in another state, so I can't physically be there for her anyway. We primarily communicate via text or FaceTime. Any advice you might have about how I should proceed with our friendship would be greatly appreciated. And since I have some extra time, I'm an Aries and she's a Scorpio. Thank you. Oh, and Megan, congrats on the engagement. Okay, bye.
Well, thank you so much. This is tough.
Yeah.
I think that what she did, yes, nurses and healthcare workers are, and so many essential workers are so wildly overworked and put in dangerous situations during COVID that naturally the percentage of human error that happens increases. Like, it happens mm-hmm. when there's lack of sleep, it happens when there's lack of support, all of that. But this is not that. Like, this is,
she lied about something that's very yeah. serious.
And this is something that she knows was a felony. Like, this is something that, like, this was a decision that was made, and it's a decision that can affect the rest of her life. And so I think operating under the circumstance that she is dependent on some medication, whether it's this medication or another medication, I think is probably the assumption to kind of go off of, because this is a choice that is, we are more likely to see in someone who is actively dealing with substance abuse mm-hmm. because it's not something that you do
lightly, especially when you know so many things are against you, like, you know, your job.
Yeah.
Taking drug tests all the time. This is yeah. something that Yeah, that she needs help.
Yeah. And I think that, like, I mean, the justice system is not a place for people to get help with substance abuse. And so I think that your instinct of being like, I don't know, she's going through all of this so much and I want to support her. And I think that that is like the right instinct is supporting her. And that support long distance is really hard. And I think it's just when you have to deal with the justice system in regards to substance abuse and active addiction, it really makes that feel like a moral failure and a personal failure that like addiction is a choice and
addiction is a disease.
Yeah. And I think that the way that you can show your support with that is knowing that that's the rhetoric that she's probably hearing a lot and has become essentially a criminal and a villain in all of this. That it's like, hey, I love you so much. I'm so sorry you're going through this. I just want to let you know if you are struggling with any sort of dependency on like any of these medications, that does not change how I feel about you. Like, you're a wonderful person. Like, I love you so much. And addiction, if that's what you are dealing with, like, is not your own personal failure. And it is a disease and it's not a choice. And I'm here to support you in anything that I can do with that. And I just like want to let you know that like you are a good person. This doesn't make you a bad person. And like, I am here for whatever you want, like, and whatever you need. And like, you can always call me. I'm not going to judge you. I just want you to be safe. And however informed you feel comfortable informing me so I can be able to know your where, know you. And if anything, at any chance were to go wrong, I can be informed in helping you. Please like give me as much information as you are comfortable giving me so I can be the best friend that I can for you and for your safety. Yeah. And that's pretty much it.
I know you have more experience with this just because of what your dad does, but do you think that calling it, and I'm asking because I don't know, calling it an addiction is the right thing to do if we don't know how she's, we know that she stole, that's a form of abuse.
Yeah.
But is it the right thing to do if she hasn't recognized?
Well, so that's the thing that like anyone who is dealing with taking substances recreationally, whether it started as like prescribed medical things and then has come into something that involves dependency, individually, people need to define it for themselves. So I think if you bring up in general, even us, like bringing up the term addiction, that has to be a self-imposed title. But yeah, you kind of have to, like, for her saying it, like you can, she can bring up the word addiction and be like, if that's something that you align yourself with or recognize in yourself, or if there's another term that feels fine with it. But I think from like our side of it, diagnosing someone with like substance abuse disorder, or like saying that someone is an addict, we can only really go based off of like information that we have in that. And I think that like you either take medication because you're selling it, or you steal medication because you're taking it, you know? And I think if we didn't know that she had taken it, I'm also not inclined to automatically assume someone is selling and distributing controlled medication before I am assuming that they might be dealing with their own.
Do you think that the caller should ask her more questions to see? Because it seems like she wasn't initially forthcoming with the information, but then became more open to talking about it, to ask her more questions to see if this is the first time that she's done something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing to do, because like she's actively going through criminal charges and dealing with that right now, that the first thing is making sure to know that you are like a safe place to share more information to, because I think like following up with like more questions that she hasn't been forthcoming with them, it might feel like an interrogation in that sense, or like, what's the right, like, tell me the right answer. But if you basically kind of go for, and obviously not in these exact words, but if you kind of go for like worst case scenario, she has a dependency on something and she is dealing with active addiction, and you reassure like, if that's happening, like, I love you, like, does not mean that you're a bad person or anything like that, offers her up to be honest in whatever way that she is comfortable doing. I think that like if she is struggling with active addiction and simultaneously with like a court case, which she is so much on the line for, that like you don't know how honest she's going to like be with you,
especially if y'all are texting.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like in the, her stuff could get subpoenaed and stuff. So if you can make it abundantly clear that whether it's the next day or the day after, months later, anything, that like you are someone who she can count on and rely on to be a non-judgmental person. Like, that's the best thing that you can do for somebody mm-hmm. who is going through any of that. And maybe she's not, like, maybe it was a overtired lapse in judgment kind of thing. And even if that is also the case, people going through addiction, the way we talk about disabled people, the way we talk about all of that kind of stuff, I think, like, even in friendships and relationships that are sober or able-bodied or anything like that, it's always nice to have that kind of baseline level. So, like, I think it's a very big moral thing that we don't really talk about that much, that, like, if something were to ever happen, you know, you could call that person mm-hmm. and you know that, like, wow, like, you really care about me. And this is something that, like, I know you're really here for me. Cause, like, I don't want to assume that she took them. So, like, that, it kind of tells
that
you.
That is an abuse in itself, is that she physically took them and then them, as in took them from the medical thing mm-hmm. and then put them in her mouth and swallowed them.
Yeah. And it makes me really sad. Like, that's a level of risk and crime that you are taking, to me, says that this has gotten to, like, a really bad point. And, like, that this is, like, a really, like, she really needs a friend, like, mm-hmm. really needs someone to tell her that this doesn't make her a bad person. And it also doesn't make her, and this might be controversial to some people, and it's not a controversial statement, that it doesn't make her bad at her job. It, like, there is, like, absolutely no moral failure with addiction or substance abuse at all. There are just unfortunate situations, and having access to medication when you are going through any of that, like, it's so prevalent in the medical field, from patients, from doctors, nurses, all of that kind of stuff, that someone's access to it, that's not, like, abusing their power. That is someone who is surrounded by their vice and that thing. And when that happens, it doesn't make them a bad person or bad at their job. It just mm-hmm. means that they, like, really need some help.
Yeah.
And if she gets, like, upset with you, or it is, like, a lot of denying any of that, don't fight it. Just be like, okay, I just wanted to let you know, if that ever changes, like, these are still my feelings about it. Like, and we talk about this with, like, friends who are in really bad relationships, like, making sure you're staying there. That's, like, a whole different level when it comes to addiction and that kind of stuff, because by nature of it, you keep a lot of secrets and you hide a lot of things. And that's where things get really dangerous. So I don't mean, like, appease her if you know she's lying to you, but, like, if you know she's lying to you, kind of, yeah. Like, you don't have to enable her by any means, and don't enable her, but protect that friendship and that line of communication, because mm-hmm. it's important.
Yeah.
This is so sad.
It really is.
And I also think about that with, like, people in the medical field, a lot of, like, people who've, like, dealt with substance abuse and who, like, are sober and no longer using, like, will go into, like, medical fields and help people. But, like, with the shortages of nurses and places mm-hmm. and people being put in positions and with access to things that they don't normally have access to, and, like, the stress and all of that, like, it's, like, incredibly, incredibly hard.
Yeah.
So sending love to anybody who is dealing with active addiction, or has anyone in their family who is, because the last couple years have really put stressors on all of our mental health. And mm-hmm. so, yeah. And also, last thing I will say, if you don't personally want to forgive any addicts in your life, that is totally fine. If you had a parent who was not available and around for you during any of that, that is 100% your choice to make. There's a lot of ways that, like, you cope with having that, and however you cope is completely fine, but friend to friend in those relationships, and if you can, you know, being on this level, but yeah, this sucks.
And I'll put some resources in the show notes too. All right, time for Don't Blame Them.
So this is where one of you calls in with your own advice pertaining to a different call.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. I'm calling in for a Don't Blame Them. My pronouns are she, her, and I am 21 years old. And I'm calling for the episode 3 of season 9, International Love Bombing, but for Don't Blame Them, on snitching on children's reckless behavior. So last year, I had a similar situation where I found one of my cousin's TikTok accounts, and she is the youngest cousin
on that side, and I'm the oldest cousin. She was in the fifth grade at the time. I don't know exactly how old. She also looks young for her age, and she's a gymnast, so she's used to wearing bra-type tops and really short, tight shorts. Anyway, I found her TikTok, and I was going through it because she's adorable, and I wanted to see what she was posting, and she was dancing to WAP and a bunch of other very inappropriate songs and dances for her age. So immediately, I told my mom about it, who told her brother, who is my cousin's father. So I told my mom because I didn't feel comfortable telling my uncle directly, and he took care of it. And so I have to agree with Melissa. I think that you should talk to the 14-year-old parent, because if I were to go up to my fifth grade aged cousin, I think that's like 10 or 11, and like talk to her and tell her that this was inappropriate, she would not respect me and would not see that it's something that she needs to be concerned about. But because her father was able to take care of it, also they're just like huge Republicans, so I didn't want to talk to her dad directly. Anyway, I'm about to graduate with a teaching licensure for high schoolers, so I will be teaching high school when she's still in middle school. So there is also that dynamic of working with children there, because I do work with children in order to obtain my degree in the future. So anyway, I hope this helped. I'm so sorry, Megan, that I'm not agreeing with you. Usually I agree with you on most things, but love the podcast. Thanks, guys. Bye.
You're not disagreeing with me. If remember by the end of the call, I was like, I just wouldn't feel comfortable. I would tell my parent. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would tell the parent to tell their sibling, which is exactly what you did.
Yeah.
So to not grow on the understand that. Wait, so not that this has anything to do with this, but so she's 21 now. Next year, she's teaching high school students.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be 22 teaching high schoolers.
Yeah. So if you think back to, if I think back to a lot of my teachers, half of them were not that much older.
I think the youngest teacher I had when I was in third grade or fourth grade, fifth grade. And they were, I would think, in their 20s, maybe, but like probably like mid to like later 20s. But high school, no.
Yeah.
Like everybody had like my friend, like kids, wild.
Yeah.
Well, that is it for our episode. We hope y'all enjoy. We're excited to be back recording new ones. And if you want to follow us over on social media, Instagram, TikTok, we would really appreciate it. And if you are listening this far, I'm going to be back on my game of like posting the graphics on time. So what should they comment? Comment either California or Texas if you think that girl should stay in California longer, or if you think she should move to Texas and live a Hallmark life. Texas is not very Hallmarky, no offense, Hallmark. But yeah, we also have our other podcast that comes out on Thursdays. So if you want to hear But Am I Wrong, check us out there. It's a great time. Follow us on socials. Follow me on socials everywhere.
Follow me at She Is Not Melissa on Instagram. You can see me in a rabbit coat.
It's fabulous. She is giving money. Like money, money, like standing out of that sky thing in like the limo and just with cash and jewels and gloves. Love that. If you want to leave us a review on the podcast app, we would appreciate it. Oh, I wanted to read one, I think. Hold on.
Okay.
I do have a question for the people who hate me. I'm just like really curious about this because like I don't even mean this in a facetious way. Like I'm genuinely curious when people say this one. I really used to enjoy this podcast up until recently. This is definitely Rachel. I really used to love this podcast and Megan up until recently. There's always been negativity and bullying, in my opinion. But just recently, I've realized how negative and sad I'd be after an episode and realizing I had to stop listening to the constant bullying. Megan used to have such compassion for people, but lately you can tell she just projects her own pain by bullying others. I'm not a Rachel by any means or by any means a conservative, but I do hope Megan can learn to be not so hateful and begin to heal. What if I've been negative? Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like we've definitely had we had a review from someone who had said, or no, I think it was in the Facebook group a while ago, that it was just like we had negative energy in one episode. And it was just that like if we can like vary up the kinds of calls that we pick. And I was like, totally hear you. Yes. And like we did, you know what I mean? But this, mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm sorry. The last three episodes have been re-uploads. Like, I'm so confused, you know?
Yeah.
But it's because it's a Rachel.
Yeah.
The great thing about ADHD is I forget everything. So okay. like Good. Something bad can happen and I will.
Okay.
Like the insurrection the day after, I forgot until I got back on Twitter and I'm like, oh yeah, shit.
I remember exactly what I was doing at the time.
Oh, I remember the exact moments, but, you know, the day after.
Do you want to read a positive one to end us?
Yeah, considering that's the only negative one. Let's see. Another great year of Don't Blame Me episodes. I'm a total fan of the new But Am I Wrong podcast with Megan and Melissa as well. Loving the end of the year re-release episodes as well. So fun to listen back to the iconic calls. You seem so happy. Also, this one, I have so many questions about this. Just discovered this podcast a couple of weeks ago. And there's another one that goes, I found this podcast through Megan's features on Cammie's podcast.
That's what I was going to say. Some people have come from Cammie's podcast.
Now, this is a shameless plug for Cammie Crawford's podcast, Relationship. It's fantastic. It's great. I just listened to her New Year's Zodiac episode earlier this week, and it's great. We love Cammie.
All right. That's it. Thanks for being here.
Oh, yeah. If you want to see us, Patreon videos. Join our live streams.
We still have merch, too.
Oh, we have merch. Buy our merch. Okay. Goodbye, right. everyone.
Bye.
Don't Blame Me is a production by me. Executive produced by Melissa DeMonts and Diamond Imprint Productions. Edited by Coco Lawrence. Post-production sound by Chris Henry. Production assistance by Melanie D. Watson. Music by Ryan Hunter and Giacomo Picasso.